Pod Save America is brought to you by Strawberry.me. The clock is ticking. The days are rolling by, turning into weeks, months, years. We spend nearly a third of our waking hours at work, but the unfortunate truth is that for many of us, that's time languishing away in a job we've outgrown, or one we never wanted in the first place, but we stick with it.
What are you trying to say, John?
something I got to tell you.
You say things like, I've already put years into this place. What if the next move is even worse?
Not possible.
Yeah, we're really down in the mines here.
Yeah.
I can't afford to take a wrong step. And isn't everybody miserable at work?
Don't fool yourself. There's a difference between reasons for staying and excuses for not leaving. It's time to get unstuck. And that's exactly what today's sponsor, Strawberry.me, can help you do.
They'll match you with a certified career coach who helps you go from where you are to where you want to be.
Your coach helps you get clear on your goals, create a plan, build your confidence, and keeps you accountable along the way.
So don't leave your career to chance. There's still plenty of time to take action. Time to own your future with a professional coach in your corner. The reasons to do so outweigh the excuses not to do so.
Head to strawberry.me/crooked to claim a special offer. That's strawberry.me/crooked. Stop settling. Start building the career you actually want. Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm Jon Favreau.
I'm Jon Lovett.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer.
Tommy Vitor.
Happy Labor Day, everyone.
Thank you.
To mark the occasion, we thought we'd pre-record an episode where we take some of your questions, especially because we have now hit the 1,000th episode.
On this exact day.
Of Pod Save America. We did it. We saved. America saved. Let's pack it up and go home.
Months of conversation about whether or not this was really the 1,000th. There's zero chance it is, but...
No, and... Well, I also, by the way, doesn't 1,000 episodes feel like somehow like too many, but also not enough? Like, it feels like we've done more, but also
it's
how can we have done
takes.
That many?
We got to keep podcasting until this thing
too
fits.
Many takes.
Yeah.
Got to keep going. You know, on a slightly serious note, the absolute best part of doing this for the last 8.5 years has been all of you, not you three. People listening.
Thank you, John.
You're cool,
that's
too.
Cool.
You're cool, too.
Got it. You gestured forward, but it was towards the people.
Yeah, it was the people who are out there. But like getting to hear from a lot of you, getting to meet a lot of you, knowing that a lot of you get to meet each other through the show, and especially seeing how many of you chose not to just listen to us while we whine about politics every week, but actually get involved yourselves, which is the entire reason we started doing this. So thank you.
Yeah. And so some folks sent in some great stories that were inspiring, and we hope, you know, we could tell them, and maybe that will inspire even more of you to give it a shot. Run for office, maybe get involved. Isabel told us she started with the pod as a 13-year-old when her dad would play it in the car on the way to school. Sorry about the
sorry.
F-bombs.
She's 13 in America. I think it's
I've
okay.
been working on limiting my F-bombs. I'm doing my best, Isabel.
All
Isabel's
right.
dad. You. Oh, yeah. You too. You too.
Trad wife over here.
Isabel.
Just churning his butter.
Now in college.
Gosh darn this Trump.
Political science. Isabel's in college. That does make me feel old. Becky said she'd never met another Democrat before she started volunteering as a poll worker. Now she is a community. Jess M. went back to school as a single mom of twins to teach history and government and says she plans to run for office in 2028.
That's cool.
Bidco. Real name, we're told. Ran for city council and lost, ran again and won, and is still door knocking for other candidates. And then JK, which is the most likely to be a fake name in all of these, ran for city council, came up 2 votes short, won a seat for the county board, and now really enjoys working with the person that beat them the first time.
No way. Wow. That's a great story.
How about that?
Look at that. Look at that. Hello.
Bringing people together.
So we appreciate everybody that has already signed up to run, but for everybody else, we are recruiting people through Vote Save America to run for local office in North Carolina, Texas, and Arizona. And for everybody else, we have a lot of big races coming up. We have the redistricting in California. We have an incredibly exciting, inspiring candidate in New York running against Mamdani. We've got there's statewide races in Pennsylvania, in Georgia. There's a Virginia governor's race, there's a Michigan governor's race.
Dan's primary in Chris Coons.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not. I'm sorry.
No.
I've given up my residency.
Someone did ask in one of the questions, who's going to run Dan's campaign? So we got a couple of those.
Okay, maybe I can move back.
I'm not a details guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to be on the message calls like Axe. Yeah. I'd be like, I want to just think big thoughts and let other people deal with it.
Do a narrative.
Who's chewing in the background? Oh, love it.
Yeah. Look, if there's anybody that should say, I can't, I'm sorry, I'm not on the call, I dropped a donut into my phone, it would be me. Yeah.
But I will send a lot of thoughts via email to your younger staff afterwards.
who forgets about the call on mute when they order a breakfast sandwich?
I'll fill that role. So again, if you want to sign up to run in Arizona, North Carolina, or Texas, go to votesaveamerica.com/run or just go to votesaveamerica.com because there's a lot of ways you can help even in these upcoming elections.
All right, let's get to some questions. There were a few questions about the midterm, so let's start there. Katie R. asks, Dan, with 2026 coming, I'm nervous about getting sucked into over-optimistic interpretations of the polling, but I'm also not willing to go cold turkey. What indicators, polling or not, should I be watching?
Okay,
KDR is actually me.
I was gonna say, it's like they're all fake questions. Yeah. I would begin with the simple premise that we are way far away from the 2026 elections. What the polls tell us right now says is not very connected to what will actually happen. But as we get closer, I think there are three things to watch. One is the polling question called the generic ballot, where they just ask people are going to vote for a Democrat or Republican. Right now, even though it doesn't matter, Democrats have in the average about a 3-point lead in the generic ballot. When we had our huge victory in 2018. The last most credible polls from like the Wall Street Journal, ABC, had the Democratic advantage at 7 points. But most people estimate that given how narrow the House is, 3 would be theoretically enough to overcome Republican redistricting, but it would be quite close. But still too early to worry about that. The second thing to track is Trump's approval. Now, as Biden showed in 2022, the direct connection between a president's approval and midterm performance is not what it used to be because we're so polarized, there's so much negative partisanship. But Trump really, the only way Republicans can do very well in these midterms is if a bunch of the people who vote only in presidential elections who voted for Trump or first-time Trump voters turn out in the midterms. And I do think Trump's approval rating is somewhat connected to that measure. And then the third thing is how people feel about the economy and inflation in particular. So those are the sort of measures that I think will tell us the most as we get closer. But there's no need to panic about it yet or get too excited yet. We have a lot of time to go.
So we're not panicking about the Democratic Party's favorability being the worst it's been since at least 1990, according to Gallup.
Well, at this almost exact point in 2013, the Republican Party approval rating was worse than Democrats right now.
Okay, I like that.
Then they won the Senate and picked up House seats in 2014.
Right.
I haven't asked you this yet, but
let's do it right here live.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. How are you feeling about the reliability of polling right now? Do you feel the same as you did in 24? Do you feel different in any way? The polls I've seen, especially over the last couple of weeks, feel swingier to me, and that like the range of Trump approval has seemed quite large.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
So I feel better about the midterm polls because the problem with polling has been getting less engaged people to participate. And so when you get to a likely voter filter for a midterm election, you're just going to be more accurate if it is true that we continue to more accurately poll people with higher political engagement, which is why the polls were accurate in 2018 and pretty accurate in 2022. The big question will be what happens in 2028 because in 2024, the polls were right, but not to get super political nerdy here, but I know you appreciate this, but they were primarily right because pollsters used a statistical trick by waiting by the 2020 election results. That is probably less reliable, presuming Trump is not on the ballot in 2028. And then the question is, how do you get people? That would solve a lot of pollsters' problems if he ran again. So big win for G. Elliott Morris, I guess. I don't know. Hard to know. It may be really hard to get. We may have a 2016-like problem in the polling in 2028 unless we can figure out some other tactics to solve that problem.
Two very similar questions about the midterms that I'm combining. Tyler says, all of my hope for the future is riding on a Democrat midterm sweep. What are the chances that the midterms will actually happen? And if they do, can we trust them? And Evil Gamer asks, what reason does Trump or Republicans have to recognize the results in 26? Anyone like to field that?
So we've talked about this in the show. Like, there's no single moment where an election is recognized or not recognized by Trump or Republicans. We are, in some way, to some extent, protected by the fact that elections are run in this incredibly disaggregated way. That will continue to be the case. That doesn't mean there won't be intimidation. That doesn't mean we won't be having to worry about everything from people claiming the votes are rigged, people trying to shut down counts, ICE agents outside of polling places. But Trump isn't responsible for deciding who is or is not in Congress, and we shouldn't give him power that he hasn't tried to take. What does that look like? We don't know, but like we're not in control of all those pieces. We have to keep an eye on it. But our job is to put ourselves in a position to win while worrying a lot about what it looks like to run an election, even just, 16 months from now.
Did you know the Constitution gives full power on who the members of the House is to the House itself?
The issue is that if they don't seat them, Speaker Johnson not to seat the Congress. Yeah.
Here's how this would work. The big question was, Trump going to cancel the midterms? You're naive for thinking they're going to happen. Trump can't cancel the midterms. Right. That's not a thing that can happen because elections are run by states. Where the sort of the choke points are where they could really play with the elections, other than all the things you mentioned that happened before the votes, mm-hmm. is election certification, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have secretaries of state in Republican states who refuse to certify certain elections. Now, the good news there is that most states have pretty prescriptive recount laws. And so you would go, so if it's within this margin, you have to recount it. And if it stays within that margin, then we're going to do a hand recount and all that. And when you get to the end of that, as we saw in 2020, the courts will almost certainly side that the election has to be certified because you followed all the procedures. The second point is the House seats the members who are elected. And in a case where the election is not certified, as happened with Al Franken in the Norm Coleman race in 2008, you can go a long time without anyone. You have to wait. They cannot be seated to election certified. But if election certified, the House could theoretically prevent someone seating someone if there was they could come up with some sort of case that like this was fraud or it was stolen or all of that. Now that's hard if it's already been certified. Although the good news here is that the Supreme Court has actually weighed in on this because the Democrats refused to seat Adam Clayton Powell many decades mm-hmm. ago because they believed that his election was corrupt. And the Senate and the Supreme Court ruled in that case that the House's power in the Constitution was specifically around eligibility issues. So if you are 25 years old, citizen for 7 years, resident of the district or whatever that is, then you have to be seated. So the Supreme Court would have to undo, I think it's called Powell v. Morgan or something like that, to do that. So there are places they can do mischief, but there are guardrails around that. Now, guardrails have done us a lot of good recently, but so.
I just think it's not just Trump from on high.
Yes, that's right.
It would require a great deal of coordination. And by the way, unanimity among Republicans and their very narrow majority. You start to look at it, like, not saying it's not possible, but like, the election's not going to be canceled.
I sure see a path of Trump, beating the drum that this was illegitimate and votes were stolen. And I don't want to be a doomer, but it's very plausible.
I think that you hit on the most important point, which is the more urgent dangers are the ones that happen before the votes are cast. It's suppression. I mean, Gavin Newsom brought this up when we interviewed him on Pod Save America about he thinks he's going to send ICE agents to stay outside of polling places.
I would just say this, which is I worry about everything that we're talking about.
And literally everything.
Everything all the time. But, I worry less only because say we knew that this is going to be the outcome, that Trump fucks with it, Republicans, how's that going to change our behavior now and through the midterm? It's not. Like, I don't know what else we could do between now and the midterms to head off that possibility. So we might as well go forward and try to win the election first and then deal with the trouble when we get to
it's
Trump.
It's like too big to rig is
that,
the plan.
Right. Like that's all I mean. Like, I don't want to be Pollyannish and like we could look back on this and be like, yeah, they did the worst possible version. Absolutely. But we can't have people so cynical that they think the results aren't going to matter and that we can't overcome even if they put people outside of polling places.
Yeah, because that does have an effect. Right. If you're like, well, they're not going to have the election anyway, so I might as well not get involved.
Self-suppress.
Right. Dan and I talked about this on Friday's pod, but would love to hear what Tommy and Levitt think. Boop to you asks, should more Democrats take Newsom's lead and go on the meme offensive? Tommy?
Is that like giving a boop to a doggy, you think?
Boop to you. Oh, yeah.
Boop on the nose. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Whatever. I don't think every Democrat should do a Trump impression, which is what Gavin Newsom is doing. I think there's a more important thing that Gavin Newsom is doing that is less covered, which is a broader strategic focus on independent media and progressive media. And I think what Gavin is doing is he's doing tons of interviews with independent media. He's been on Pod Save America a bunch. He's talking to Brian Tyler Cohen. He's talking to a bunch of YouTubers and TikTokers. And that's what Trump did. that was really smart. He talked to the so-called Manosphere podcast. He talked to conservative podcasts. He talked to the comedy audiences all the time. And he built a relationship with those audiences. And he also helped those shows build their own presence and subscriber base. That is really smart. And so I think the Trump impression stuff is like getting him a lot of attention. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think? In 6 months, is Gavin Newsom doing a Trump impression? I'm a little bit skeptical. I think like its utility is getting attention. And when that utility goes away, you probably slow down or stop doing it. But
that'd be my guess.
The strategic focus of building up independent and progressive media is really smart and long-term and enduring. And it's something every single Democrat needs to do.
So there's a podcast called The Diary of a CEO. He does a lot of these really long-form interviews. It's incredibly popular on YouTube. And he did this interview with a pioneer in AI. I was interested in it, and I clicked on it. And then I looked 2 months ago, Gavin Newsom sat down for a 2-hour interview with this guy. I didn't know that. It wasn't something that came across my feed, but that reached a huge audience of people that's apolitical. And like, whether the memes continue or not, like he's thinking about how to be the Democrats sucking up all the attention. And like that to me is the plan. It seems like it's working.
Yeah.
Pod Save America is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Fall is planting season. Did you know that many plants and trees actually do better when planted this time of year? But you have to know where to start. That's why I love fastgrowingtrees.com.
Got to go in the ground with it.
Got to go in the ground. Got to try water, sunlight. That's why I love fastgrowingtrees.com. Doesn't matter if you live in the sunny south or if the air is getting chilly where you are, their plant experts can help you find the perfect fit for your space. They have all the plants your yard needs, like fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and so much more. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Order online and get your plants delivered directly to your door in just a few days without ever leaving home. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee ensures your plants arrive happy and healthy. All plants and trees are locally grown in the U.S., ensuring they will thrive in your yard. Love Fast Growing Trees.
Huge fans here.
We're, you know, we got a lot of dead trees in our yard. Trying to do some replacing, but like, we don't know what we're doing.
You don't know what
That's why
doing.
You need Fast Growing Trees.
You know what they're doing? Your trees have been alive.
Yeah. They come and they consult. They help you figure out where to put the trees, which trees to get. It's really a great service. Yeah. And it's great. They come to your house. Like, you don't want to go to a nursery to start picking out trees. And then you, where are you putting them? You're putting them in your car, getting that dirty.
No, it's hard.
You can't see where you need them because you're at the store. So, you know, it's nice to have them just coming right to your house.
They come right to your house.
And you save a lot of money because hiring a landscaper, that can be pricey. It can be pricey, and fast-growing trees, very affordable. This fall, they have the best deals for your yard, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code Crooked at checkout. That's 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Crooked at checkout. Now's the perfect time to plant. Use Crooked to save today. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Check out the link, fastgrowingtrees.com, or in the show notes, and support the show.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Texas Hold'em. Do any of you have a coherent theory of why J.D. Vance is so singularly annoying? The more I watch of him, the less I'm able to put my finger on it. I love this question.
I don't know if it's a coherent theory. I mean, I got a couple of reasons. Like, one, he's got no sense of humor. Like, none, literally none.
Jokester like Marco.
Well, remember in 2012 when, like, Mitt Romney was such a stiff that it was, like, a political problem for him? Yeah. And his team tried to put out, like, all this backer quotes. Like, he's a prankster. He's a scamp. He's a scallywag. Remember that shit?
Yes. And it was just like scallywag Mitt.
It was such obviously bullshit because then Mitt Romney would do interviews and he'd be like, I love humor. It's like just no one talks like that. And the same is with J.D. Vance. Like J.D. Vance is a very angry, constantly aggrieved, whiny dude. Doesn't matter if it's like a podcast interview or a speech to all of Europe. He's just angry and aggrieved. And then second, like the guy is a shapeshifter politically, in terms of his own identity. He's had several different names. He's changed his religion recently. He has evolved his political worldview entirely. So, like, I don't know. I think that phoniness and authenticity is what reads.
Do you think he's legitimately aggrieved or performatively aggrieved?
I think he's legitimately an angry little prick.
I've come to believe that as well. I've thought about this a lot. This question, I wanted to pick it because I'm like, yes, I feel the same way. Like, I'm so enraged with him all the time, but I don't know why. Like, he has a rationale that everything they do is justified because the left hates America and is ungrateful to him and his ancestors who are the rightful heirs to this country. And he's fucking smug.
Who was he demanding offer gratitude yesterday? We were watching an interview.
Yeah, he was demanding. He's done it to Mamdani. He's done it to Zelensky. Yeah. There was someone else that
you and I were watching. Yeah. We were all watching J.D. Vance at her office and mad about something. I think it was Mamdani.
But and the fucking smugness too. Like when he, because the fight that I got in with him over Kilmar Brego Garcia was, he was like, you know, I commented on the fact that like they made a mistake and whatever else. And he was like, obviously you haven't read the court document on this and blah, blah, blah. Like he's like a big, and then it's like when you read the court document, which his tweet complaining about it is now evidence in the case because the court document said the opposite of what. So he wasn't just wrong. He was like, oh, you obviously haven't read it yet, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you didn't read it, you fucking moron. But he's so confidently smug that it's real. And the difference with Trump is, like, Trump's tone is almost like, I know I'm full of shit, but at least I'm going to have some fun with it. And it's back to your original point. Like, there is no humor. There's no having fun with anything. There is just, like, just dire, smug grievance.
Yeah, there's something. I feel like I agree with that. Like, I always see him, and I feel like there's two parts of it. One is he is a shapeshifter. He's been performing different people his whole life. And you just feel in everything he does, the space between whatever he was, which is now nothing, and what he is now. You see that when he's in the donut shop. You see that, like, that there's just quiet. That, when he's not putting on a show, it's so quiet and so stuck and awkward and strange. And like, I think there's like rage in him about all of that. Like, you can feel it from him. But the other part of it is like, he made it. He made it. He made it out of Ohio. He made it to the heights of liberal elite culture. Then he switched sides and made it to the very top of right-wing culture. And he's still fucking furious. It's not working. Like, he's not happy. He seems angry all the time. Like, he's not getting the meaning from it he hoped. And like, who could be responsible for that? It's not him. It's not Trump. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. It's us. It's the liberals. It's the left.
Text from Michael O'Neill incoming. He made it out of Ohio.
And my wife.
He made it out of a tough part of Ohio. You know, he had like a rough go of it. I mean, I didn't watch the movie, but the trailer with Glenn Close looked rough. She was in that muumuu. It seemed like it was tough. I don't know what actually happened in his childhood. I think a lot of
I will all this to say though, I still think he is a very dangerous, not just dangerous for what he can do governing wise, but in 2028, I do not underestimate him as a very strong candidate, even though he does not have the charisma clearly that Donald Trump has or a lot of other politicians.
He is an incredibly dangerous human being. He is someone who's like very interesting to think of in comparison to Barack Obama, because on paper, like, there's the similar background of J.D. Vance is vice president of the States now because of the way he told his own story, right? Similar to how Barack Obama did, right? Both in Dreams of My Father and The Speech. And they both come from like what are really, really hard backgrounds. Like, Obama, son of a single mother, father leaves on food stamps. Like, J.D. Vance's story is told in a movie trailer. But the difference between the two of them is like what Barack Obama took from his experience was like, how do I help all the people who came up like I did? And J.D. Vance is, how do I screw over all the people who came behind me? Like, he just burns the bridge behind him. And it is like, it's very malicious. Like, it's like shame of where he came from as opposed to understanding his true story and like how that should inform his values.
Ben Rhodes and I have been talking about this a lot because it does feel like when we were talking about that Claremont speech, and we talked about it on Offline too, that he is the almost mirror image of Obama with the story, because they both have these stories, but they both went like very different ways. It's like,
and they don't worship an awesome God in the blue states.
That's right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And fuck Little League. All right. This is from Over Under. Tommy, what do you think is the top foreign policy issue that we should be paying more attention to, talking more about?
I mean, I think it's an obvious one, but it's
climate change.
Climate change, sure. I think China. It's weird because Trump ran on being tough on China. It was like the centerpiece of his populist pitch, and now it's just absent from the conversation. And it's sort of weird to me. Like, and then I think as president, he's been soft on China. Like, he recently agreed to let NVIDIA sell these, like, pretty high-powered AI chips to the Chinese. It's very weird. He's been soft on Taiwan. The tariffs have been all over the place. And then Trump made this announcement the other day where he's said we would allow 600,000 Chinese students into the United States to study. And it's actually inflamed the right wing. And it's just hard to understand. And so Ben and I are going to – Rhodes and I are going to dig into this deeper on Pod Save the World next week. But I do think – like, given the stakes involved, it's odd that there's not more conversation about it.
Can I ask you, what's going on in Venezuela? Are we going to war with Venezuela? Yeah. What is happening?
Are we attacking
there?
Them?
They're sending a bunch of naval ships and assets down to the region for, like, counter cartel something.
To interdict boats?
No. Well, there's been a steady kind of effort to name drug cartels and gangs as terrorist organizations. Yep. And to officially designate them and to sort of like socialize this idea of going to war with cartels with or without the approval of the countries involved where the cartels are actually working, like Mexico, for example. And now we're setting naval assets down to the region. Like it feels like they are kind of trying to merge the war on drugs and the war on terror.
And like the immigration
what could go
stuff
wrong.
Here.
Yeah.
Do you think they have read the book or seen the movie Clear and Present Danger?
Probably not.
Or the movie Sicario, Day of the Soldado, which we're this is the exact plot of.
I've not seen that.
Dan, I think about the movie Clear and Present Danger all the time. It's one of movies that are part of a canon of political thrillers where the end result is someone tells the truth publicly to solve the problem. And if you imagine now a deep stater going before Congress and saying, actually, President Trump did this in a corrupt way, the credits don't roll. You know, the problem isn't solved.
It's so funny. We've 1,000 episodes. I feel like we've had this conversation.
We did,
before.
In fact, and I remember because the last time I said it's also the plot of Lioness Season Special Operations, Lioness Season 2, and you guys said, "What the hell is that?" Oof, and so I left that out. It was actually the last time we did a mailbag, to be clear.
Oh my gosh!
Wow,
I'm sorry.
Time, guys.
Hey, is a good enough point to hear it again?
Who is the most controversial guest that you would low key have on the show?
You can't low key have a guest. You can't ironically have a guest. But yeah, who would we want?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
I know. I'm just quoting. I know. I'm just thinking about it.
Isn't the question, doesn't it come down to, would you have Trump on the show?
Yeah, of course.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance, sure.
Yeah. Joe Biden.
He won't come on. Hunter. I think Tucker Carlson would be interesting.
Yeah.
I think this gets
it. Would you ask him about his new 9/11 truther documentary that he's
doing? No, I'm unaware of that.
But you would ask him if he was on.
Well, I'll be honest for the listeners. Like, I reached out to him when he was talking about his opposition to the U.S. bombing Iran. And asked if he would come on. He declined, but he was polite about it. But I think he occupies an interesting space where he's clearly MAGA, has some very extreme views that I find abhorrent, but mm-hmm. also doesn't always toe the party line in a way that is interesting and I think makes him powerful in that space.
Well, and then there's the creeping anti-Semitism that he's more and more flagrantly putting on display. That's part of it, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
It gets to the bigger question, which we get a lot, depending on we have guests, is like, why are you platforming these people? Mm. And I think one of the points I think we've tried to make to people is if someone already has a huge platform,
they are platformed.
They are already platformed, right? And so the goal here is to have a conversation where you can hold them accountable for some stuff. You can ask hard questions. You can engage in a conversation on, like, at least you put with Tucker Carlson, like an area.
Yeah, my goal with Tucker would have been to talk about why going to war with Iran is a bad idea and why Republicans and Democrats both agree that Donald Trump shouldn't get sucked into this conflict.
Yeah. If someone is influential, you can't stop the influence. So just by not having them on different shows.
Yeah. We've tried that.
Remember Twitter? Yeah. Twitter and Trump?
And everyone got upset. Bernie Sanders talked to Joe Rogan. And well, that didn't work, did it?
You guys have any controversial guests you'd have on? Mine would be Matt Iglesias. Kidding.
I just don't even think about it that way anymore. I just think that that's like not a way to think of, like, whoever would be interesting to talk to.
Biggest Dickus asks, didn't make that up. Serious question. I'd really like to hear the crooked people's opinion on. I'm a government side civil defense attorney, and I'm being softly recruited to be a civil assistant U.S. attorney in a major metropolitan city. I'm here, so it's fair to say I don't share the politics of the administration, here being our Discord. This is a job I've really always wanted, but the realities of the moment make me want to run away. Is there any value or realistic need for people like me who care, are ethical, etc., in joining the federal government at this time? Presuming that eventually we're back in control, would I just be setting myself up to be purged and then hit the market with a scarlet letter on me? I thought this was interesting.
Can I ask a question that someone else can answer the substance? Do you think you end up with the Discord name Biggest Dickus because you join to like talk about Call of Duty when you're 13 and then your interests evolve over time?
Right, right.
I hadn't thought about why.
And all of a sudden, you just have the name Biggest Dickus and you don't even realize.
Do you remember messaging important communications advice to someone named Yum Peach Ice
Cream? Yes, that was our friend Bill Burton.
On AOL Messenger, the Discord of our time?
Yes, yes.
I thought about this one. Like, I think I would not have said go in to the administration in the first term. I think in this term, you do it. And I think you you try to be a reasonable voice. You try to push things in the right direction. And failing that, at least be there to document what's going on and to hopefully tell people. Like, I kind of think that's the situation we're in right now.
Go in and take copious notes.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I do. Like,
and that specific like role. Yeah, like that specific role, right, would be you'd have a pretty... There's a pretty big kind of like yes or no question around whether or not you should be there when you're sort of handed a case. And you're like, oh, right. This is about trumped up charges against Kilmar Abrego Garcia. I'm out. But until then, being inside and being a good person inside, like it's not about whether you take the job or not. Someone will be in the job. Should it be you or should it be somebody else?
Right.
And by the way, the people who quit because they didn't want to bring the case against Abrego Garcia in Tennessee, that was a signal to everyone else and to future judges and future courtrooms that like, yeah, this is a fucked up case.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how much discretion you have in these jobs, really. I defaulted to where you were. Like, I think take the job, see if you can improve it from within. The person who's going to take it, if you don't, will probably be worse. But yeah, at some point, you're going to get asked to prosecute the dude through a hoagie, and, you know, then it's nut-cutting time, and you walk out.
Yeah, I don't think you stay there forever, right? I mean, I'm thinking about all the CDC folks that just got pushed out, right? And they were like, look, didn't agree with them, wanted to try to make it work, tried my hardest to, like, you know, do the MAHA agenda with as much integrity as we could have and to make it as best as possible. And it just didn't work, you know?
Can I just read for everyone a quick MAHA headline?
Yes, please.
Because I just want everyone to know how healthy we are making this nation. I'm vamping because this Twitter is slowly, slowly loading. New York Times headline, pediatric brain cancer group to lose federal funding. A network dedicated to early phase trials of treatments for children with brain cancer will be phased out. Thank you very much to RFK Jr., the HHS team, and everyone at the MAHA world making us healthier by, you know, throwing kids out of a trial for pediatric brain tumors.
Can I give you another MAHA headline from today,
yes,
also
please.
From the New York Times? The Dr. Oz-run Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services today is launching a pilot program where they will now require prior authorization for medical procedures. And because normally in Medicare, you do not need that. They just grant it. And they've hired AI companies who are going to use AI to decide which are needed and which aren't.
AI death panels.
And the AI death AI panels, death right.
Robot
and,
death panels, that's what we're
and
at.
And the AI companies make money based on the savings they get Medicare, so they're financially incentivized to deny care to seniors on Medicare.
Pilot program in 6 states.
Hope it's Palantir.
A couple of them are swing states. I noticed Arizona's on that on that list. So
how do we not make a thing out of AI death panels? I feel like this,
I know.
It's what are we doing, Democrats?
The AI death panels are a distraction. From what?
From the pediatric cancers. From what?
The empty files.
From what? The tariffs.
Jesus.
All right. Friendly cabbager merchant. What does Crooked see as the next steps for a strong progressive media ecosystem? A convention or policy event similar to what MAGA has? Media partnerships consolidation? Boy, do we have an event for you guys. It's called CrookedCon.
I hope CrookedCon is much like TPUSA, where there's... alleged fingering in the lobby. There's fist fights between MAGA influencers.
I'm sorry. I've just heard, this is the first time I'm hearing of supposed fingering.
Oh my God.
Dude, you got to read about Will Summer. Oh, you might have been on vacation when this came out. Will Summer at The Bulwark did a long report on a huge Twitter fight between some MAGA influencer types that revolved around an alleged incident.
Alleged, that's right.
Consensual TPUSA. Fingering?
Oh, yes. Yeah, very much. Yeah. Right. Just in a public space.
Consensual, but like, you know, people might have been married and there's all these, apparently a lot of shit goes down at TPUSA of a sexual nature.
Yeah, so CrookedCon is going to be like
that.
CrookedCon.com. Get your tickets.
Meet the love of your life.
See you in the lobby.
Meet the love of your life or meet the love of your weekend. Huh? CrookedCon.com.
Did you guys read that directly from the marketing team's pitch? Or
I think that works. Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Anyone else want to pitch CrookedCon? I mean, I think that was the best pitch for it. But
oh, yeah.
We're going to have a good time.
Less pointing fingers among Democrats.
Less finger pointing.
Less finger pointing. More
The circular firing squad is something else entirely.
Oh, I'm triggered.
I'm out.
What was that, Tommy, about? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Get back to your butter churning.
This is my bad.
I understand you have a new sourdough loaf you're starting. You got a new starter.
Oh, boy.
Or I guess he technically did not use profanity there.
That's so right. That's true.
That's
true.
I did not.
That is true. We're excited about CricketCon. It's filling up fast.
Yeah.
We're going to Pod Save America the night before on November 6th, live show. We haven't done a live show in a while.
I know.
It'll
be great.
And then on Friday the 7th, we're going to have all these panels. They're not robot death panels. They're just, we're going to have people, really smart, great people.
Could do a death.
Some of the brightest minds in the party.
Some of the brightest minds in the party.
Some big name politicians.
Yeah. Some overlap in that Venn diagram.
Hopefully more as we go along. Yeah. We're going to have some good conversations. And, we hope to see you all there. CricketCon.com.
Pod Save America is brought to you by Hims. Hims can't solve snoring or blanket stealing. But when it comes to performance, Tommy, they've got you covered.
Rock solid.
Take control of ED with personalized treatments made with proven ingredients prescribed by licensed providers 100% online. Through Hims, you can access personalized prescription treatment options for ED like hard mints and SexRS Plus. What? Climax control. If prescribed, Hims offers access to ED treatment options ranging from hard mints to trusted generics that cost 95% less than brand names. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. Or goal, single goal. Seems to be pretty simple. There's one of the goals is pretty simple, you know?
Yep.
This isn't a one-size-fits-all care that forgets you. Well, couldn't be one-size-fits-all. You know, when you think about it. Doesn't forget you in the waiting room. It's your health and goals put first with real medical providers making sure you get what you need to get results. Think of Hims as your digital front door. It's your front door to get in the back door with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for ED and more all in one place. To get simple online access to personalized affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/crooked. That's hims.com/crooked. For your free online visit, hims.com/crooked. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information vis-a-vis boners.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Do any of you guys play fantasy football? Are you excited for football in general this year? Are the Pats back?
You want to start with the Pats, Tommy?
I don't know if we're back, but we're better. I mean, Drake May looked good. Mike Vrabel's good. Josh McDaniels is back. Pick it up, Stephon Diggs.
Trevion Henderson.
Yeah, we get some good players.
So I play fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I play a lot of fantasy football. It's really a how.
Are you in multiple leagues?
I'm in multiple leagues.
Wow. That's hard to keep track of, Dan.
I'm in two main leagues. I have a dynasty league on top of that.
Okay.
And I now play best ball fantasy football. Which is you draft your team at the beginning of the year. You play in like large field tournaments. And then you don't have to do anything. It just takes the best scores. You have to manage it.
That is so much to keep track of.
Well, the best ball thing, once you do it, it's done.
I was in two years and I was like, I could barely fucking pay attention.
I think more people in politics should do fantasy football, or I'm not going to urge people to do gambling, but I do think there is like a real lesson in understanding that's like applicable to political strategy. There's like understanding value and understanding ceiling versus floor outcomes. because like that's what you're always trying to pick. You're trying to find someone who has the best possible outcome, and you're willing to take on additional risk to do that. And the Democratic Party lives in a world of high floor, low ceiling in all of our decision making. And so, but yeah, I am a fantasy football lunatic. I really picked it up during the pandemic and haven't let it go.
You know, I moved out here in 2014, and that was like the last year I paid attention to sports in any way, because my head started getting like so into politics. And every year I'm always like, I think I want to get like, it's because baseball's really, there's just like so many fucking baseball games. Yeah. But football's like really fun. It's every great. Sunday to watch football. And every year I'm like, I'll either do fantasy football or something that like makes me pay attention to football. Now that I have fucking two kids, it's like, I don't know how I'm
going to. Well, so I was a Washington Commanders fan, so, which you couldn't even use the name of my team for like a decade in public discourse. So it's like very hard to follow them.
We're going to be heading back to it though.
Yeah, that's right. According to Trump.
Yeah, good point.
And, but so fantasy was like the way in which I stayed very involved in football. And I also, living on the West Coast, football is great because it's over 8:30. Yeah. Starts at 10 a.m., which is awesome. And then if you have small children on the London game, when it starts at 6 a.m.
Yep.
Is like a real gift.
Bet the Lunder. You know, this conversation made me think of something that pissed me off about J.D. Vance. I remember what it was. So J.D. Vance did an interview yesterday with this guy on Fox named Will Kane, who's basically like a set of veneers who was given a show. And they were talking about like, they were talking about Ohio State versus Texas, I think. And clearly he had been prepped that this was going to come, right? Because like Will Kane's like, I got my orange tie and you're a Buckeyes guy, JD. And JD's like, I'm told that the Buckeyes are an 11-point dog. And Will Kane, who came from sports media, was like, no, that's like not even close to the line.
He couldn't even pretend to be nice to him. But like it was funny because it was a rare moment where Will Kane's like, what are you talking about?
If you understand anything about gambling lines or football, it would be fucking absurd for the defending national champion
points
dog at home. Like
11,
it's impossible.
It's crazy. Yes. It's crazy. So like again, total phony, was beclowned on Fox News.
By a clown, literally. By it was the clown. First beclowning and ever done by a often beclowned person, Will Kane.
Yes.
To our earlier conversation, immediately blamed someone nameless
his staff,
on it.
Yeah, blamed his staff.
He was like,
yeah.
Someone, I don't know, someone sent me a link with the line. Someone sent me that line.
Did they? I think you had a prep document.
Glad that you're getting good information all the time. You want to talk about the Pats at all? Did we talk about the
beginning?
Sorry.
I think it's done.
Which part?
This part of the show.
It's the longest you've ever been silent on podcasts.
Monica, not Monica, asks, Labor Day special, since it's Labor Day. You are attending a holiday cookout and must choose between a paper plate with two hot dogs, a scoop of potato salad, and a wedge of watermelon, or a paper plate with a cheeseburger, bean salad, and two chocolate chip cookies. There is a condiment table with standard toppings, but between you and it is someone who wants to critique your recent Twitter posts, so you may have to do without. You have arrived late, and the only remaining beverage to pair with your food is LaCroix Limoncello. Which plate are you taking?
Why is this question hurt my head?
Why is the paper versus normal plate? Why is that so highlighted?
Because I'm sure this person thinks you don't need a straw with your coffee. I think it's for me.
I missed the paper plate part.
Here's what I do: I take the cheeseburger in one hand, I take the two cookies, I just throw the bean salad out.
100%.
Now I'm mobile.
And the limoncello.
Now I'm mobile. Yeah, I don't want the limoncello.
This the whole thrust of the question. They're trying to figure out whether you want a hot dog, hamburger, bean salad, whatever. And whether you're willing to whether you love condiments so much that you engage in an awkward conversation about your Twitter feed to get them.
Yeah. I just took it as like, which plate, you can't have any condiments, which plate do you pick?
Oh,
to me, it's easy. I just pick the hot dogs.
Yeah, I would pick the hot dogs.
Bean salad is not that, and I like watermelon, and bean salad is not that great.
What is it? At least
I don't think so. It's like, there's some mayonnaise and beans. Let me tell you. That's, yeah.
You know, bean-based one.
And I like potato salad, and I like hot dogs.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
That's me. I don't know. Anyone else got
it? And I think if somebody criticizes, I think the best thing to do if somebody talks to you about something you don't feel like talking to, but probably just agree with them more than they ever expected. It was a stupid post. Right here, I'm out. You're right.
I totally hear you.
It was stupider than even you're saying.
Man, do I regret that. Moving on.
Have never gotten in a fight with someone in person over my tweets.
Yeah, this is not likely to happen.
Yeah. I know that could surprise a lot of you. Handy Pants. Mm-hmm. You guys have been doing the podcast.
Handy Pants sent this in directly from TPUSA conference.
Confirmed at Crooked Con, Handy Pants.
You guys have been doing the podcast for a good while now, 1,000 episodes. Looking back at those first few years, how have each of you changed as podcast hosts? Who would like to begin? there's a lot of growth.
Yeah, I changed this show. That's what happened here.
I don't know. Like, it's like, I think, like, we over the years, I mean, part of it is like, did we change? Did the environment change? But like, I do think one thing, like, it got worse, I think, during the pandemic. Like, we said from the beginning, you know, we had like a slogan, right? We want to entertain, inform, we want to inspire action. And like, informing people and talking about what people do to get involved, like, that's a little bit more objective than what's subjective, which is just being entertaining. And I think there were times where we got so concerned about the mission that we didn't focus enough on like what we were really in, which is this crazy attention war. And I think sometimes we felt like, oh, people would message us like, you guys got to talk about climate change. It's so important. And so then we would try to force it in or try to prove we were doing what we were meant to do as like good members of the resistance, which led to, I think, a worse product. And I think we've gotten more comfortable just feeling like it's very important that people come back, because it's like a fun conversation. And that's not like a nice thing. It's like a necessary thing. I think that's one thing we've done differently over the years.
It's taken me a while and I've not gotten there yet, but I think more about what do I want to say about this and less about how is it going to land necessarily. Because I think if you're constantly like, oh, this take will get me in trouble or someone's going to be mad about this and whatever else, then it just makes the conversation tighter and also just harder to have. And you just start feeling like, if I have a platform to say this stuff, I might as well say what I it's not to not be thoughtful about what you believe, but like, I just try to say what I believe, you know?
Like, I love doing this podcast. I'm very grateful to you guys for starting this company so I can do this podcast. Like, I love talking about politics. I love talking about the smart, entertaining people who are my friends. I would say that for a very long time, I like had a real identity crisis about being a podcaster. It's like in my life, like I always was like a political operative. Like that's what I was from the second I left college and just what I always was. And then all of a sudden I was a podcaster. And I will say that when I left the White House, Barack Obama, as he would do, had some life advice for me. And I told him that I was like negotiating with CNN about doing like a cable deal. And it's like Axe was doing that. Jay Kearney had just finished one. Like a bunch of his people were doing it. He's like, that's a good thing to do right away. Like keep your profile. It's like, but I just don't want to look up in 10 years and still see you on cable TV all the time. Like, that's not what you want. And so like that haunts me.
I was like, boy, don't worry about that. That whole economy is going to fall apart.
That's right. And so that like has always haunted me about like we're media people. And it's this conflict between.
And then he went and.
Yeah. No. I think,
he's doing a podcast.
Yeah, he wants a podcast.
Anyway, check him out with Bruce Springsteen. That's right. Yeah.
Boy, I can't turn on Netflix without hearing his voice talk about some migrating manatees.
But these manatees make the cars right here in America.
But like there was this moment, like it took a while. It really has been probably since in the last couple of years, but just like, this is politics now, right? Yeah. Politics and media are the same, and it's information warfare. And even though I would like say those things and write those things, like it took a while to like adjust in my head that like the way I will contribute to politics going forward is not like being on conference calls, like going through pulling data for candidates like you used to do, or like working on messaging or pitching reports or other thing. It's like having a platform and using it and thinking about ways in which you can grow the platform and other people can grow the platform and stuff like that. It's understanding that media is politics now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to clear a room? Tell people you're in podcasting. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you the hardest thing about just like going about life is when you're like at the playground with your kids or you're at a birthday party with your kids and like, so what do you do?
Yeah, no, it's hard. I never engage on that.
Well, in an Uber on the way home from a trip recently, I told the guy I was a consultant. And usually that just like ends the whole thing. And he's like, what are you a consultant in? And I was like, PR. He's like, you mean like marketing? And then I had an hour conversation where I just had to pretend I was in marketing because his wife was in marketing.
Do you like, know how many Uber drivers I've just said podcasting? And then by the end of the Uber, they're like, oh, Pod Save America?
A subscriber. And then they subscribe. Subscriber.
Yeah, I can't do that. I would not be in sales.
The reaction to this had changed a lot over time. Like in 2017, when I was like, Hannah, can we please move from San Francisco to Los Angeles so that I can do a podcasting company with my friends? It was like, that was a challenging conversation. You know, there are people in my life who are like, you have a plan B, right? There's a lot of that.
She's now pretty happy now, isn't she?
Now it's far more mainstream. Jeez. Dirty, hairy threat of my wife.
Pretty happy now, woman.
Now it's like a very different thing. It's like what, like it was a much more niche thing. I think it's a more widespread. I think you're right, Dan, though, that like the kind of media piece of politics is so much more important now. It's so much more central. It's like, I think the way I would think about it is like we all spent so much time shaping the words, and now the clear challenge is getting the words to the people and like being a part of the last mile is like interesting and fun.
Yeah. Schumer fan 69. If in the near future, someone can go to ChatGPT and ask it for a political podcast to catch up on the day's news, are you worried you will be replaced?
Kinda. I mean, there'll probably be an older, like some generation that wants real people to do their news, but then there's going to be folks who just could care less, is what I think.
I've been working on a on the side an AI podcasting company.
Oh, get ahead of this.
Yeah.
Are they gonna let you be part
AI
of it?
Dan?
Well, the AI. I'm starting out in charge. How that ends, I don't know. But
yeah, it's called Great Point, Dan. I go back and forth about. I feel like AI. We get bogged down because it's like an abstraction, right? Like it's a tool that can do a lot of different things, and so like. Was the hammer good for it's a very broad question. And I feel like sometimes it's like, do I think like technology that can imitate real people to confuse people into thinking they're real is good? I don't. Am I as worried about that as I am all these other implications? No. Because on some level, like it would just be doing an impression of the things that already existed, right? And people ultimately are seeking something out that feels new. So it's like, am I worried about something that's kind of a mirror of what people have already done? Like not as much, but maybe not as much as I should be. I don't know.
I'm worried about AI a lot, as anyone can listen to Offline knows. But on this point, I do think there's a limit to, AI is limited by its inability to be creative.
For now,
if AI is always going to be scraping the internet or the entire world for information, and that's what's like, there's just something, and I notice it when you, just to try it out, like when you ask it to write or you ask it to do stuff like that, it's just not, I know it's going to get a lot better. I can imagine it being extremely proficient and accurate and all these kind of things, but there's just an added, like the humor, I think, is not as good as it could, as sharp as it could be. I don't know if it'll ever completely replace human creativity in terms of just like being a newsreader. Yeah, no, I think that's a...
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your mind around because it's like the technology is improving and it's like, okay, what can it improve? Like, what does it look like when it's maximally improved?
Right, that's what I'm...
And what are the limits that are like endemic to the technology? Mm-hmm. And one of the limits of it is like, it is of the past. It has to be of the past, and we're not. We're making new things.
Totally. That's
That is a protection. Like that is something that like I think like it traps you in the moment it did its scraping,
and that can never change.
Right.
No matter how good it gets.
Right.
It can't change. I mean, we're all trapped in the past, and we have the capacity to take what's in the past and use it to project new things forward.
That's sort of where I am too. It's like, I think that's what creativity is. It's like kind of taking information that already exists in your brain and like connecting different strands that might thematically people might not think of otherwise.
Yeah,
I think what it's missing though is individual human experience, right? Like it can't ever. That's the thing.
Potentially, unless till it reads all the memoirs in the world.
Like, okay. It's also when you see a photo or when someone makes a video or a fake photo, wow, that looks really real. It only has a function in a world where people expect most things to be real, right? What is it doing an impression of real things, right? And in a world where there are fewer of those real things, it starts to have less meaning and have less utility because it has to do the trick.
Yeah.
Like it has to do the function of replacing someone. Those people need to exist to be replaced.
Right. Well, we'll see. Christy Gnome's Injector asks, due to a series of shocking coincidences and mishaps, you find yourself trapped in an undersea habitat, stocked with food and water and little else. The seas are rough, and it will be between 2 and 3 weeks until you are rescued. Oh, so 2 and 3 weeks. Okay. You are down there with one other person. It's either Stephen Miller, Don Jr., or Marjorie Taylor Greene. Of the three, who do you hope it is? It's an easy one.
Don's got drugs. So.
It's not Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
Who? It's an easy one for you, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah,
me too. You.
Marge.
Wow.
What a great way to meet your crush.
Yeah, you're doing workouts.
You know, you were gonna go Don Jr.
Well,
huh?
I just want to make a joke about him having a bag, but I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is the more fully formed person, surprisingly.
What's interesting is when I made up these questions.
Those two were tied for me.
Stephen Miller's like, you push him out of the habitat.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was more evenly balanced. Because
I pushed myself out of the habitat.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You did?
Exactly.
Christy Gnome's Injector?
Yeah, I'm Christy Gnome's Injector.
Yeah, love it did this question.
Yes.
And I thought it would be more balanced in part because, I think we all, like you, I would rather spend the time with Marjorie Taylor Greene because I do think she has a genuine ideology, but so does Stephen Miller, but he's so heinous. But when you maybe like learn something, trying to kind of understand him,
no,
like after the after
I don't think
the
I could
time,
do that.
Keep in mind on his on Katie Miller's podcast, JD Vance did say if he could pick one cabinet member fly
another good
transatlantic
example.
With next to on a plane, he would pick Stephen Miller, even though Stephen Miller's not in a cabinet. That's how much he likes Stephen Miller.
He said that to Stephen Miller's wife.
Yeah, but she gave him an out with the cabinet.
Just a perfect example of why he's the phoniest loser. That is such a lame answer. It is not what the question asked. You're kissing the ass of the person you're naming. It is like, you suck.
In fairness, probably more powerful than most of the cabinet, though. So.
Yeah. I think the answer has to be Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, just imagine you could egg her on for conspiracy theories. So the day, like, Marjorie, it's day seven here. We're still waiting for the rescue boat. Tell me about the Jewish space laser again.
Right. Yeah. Or the CrossFit classes for free.
Yeah.
You think you could get, though, good info out of Don Jr. that could be useful
about
somehow?
His dad.
Yeah. Oh. That's the only thing that just popped
into my head. That's interesting.
He probably has good stories.
Well, I think as many intelligence agents have figured out over the years, a little bit of flattery, a couple drinks, he eventually softens.
That's true. Okay. this is Lovett's second question. I'm with that little girl is me.
Solid combo.
You can open a portal right now. You will either see yourself 20 years ago or 20 years from now. Would you rather tell your past self about the future to change our present or learn about the future so that you can shape it from this point forward? That's a really good one.
I'm definitely going to the future. I feel pretty good about where my life is now.
Wait.
Right, you can either go to the past and make your present better, or you can go to the future and bring knowledge back to the present.
And you'll go to the future.
I'll go to the future, both because I think you can maybe help shape the world, but also, just like in Back to the Future 2, I would get the lottery numbers and the Super Bowl winners.
Austin has a thumbs up to that.
Yeah, you fly back and go back in time. You either say buy Bitcoin, or you go in the
future. Oh, that's a good point. I did not think about that.
Run from the machines.
Yeah, tell the machines you really like them starting in 2022.
Be nice to the machines.
What if you go to the future, though, and it's just like an apocalyptic wasteland?
That'd be bad.
And you don't know how or why.
You know what? You've really caused me to question my initial answer here.
But what's interesting about this, what I like about this is going in the direction I thought, because I did think everyone's initial response would be, well, I love my life. Yes, Trump is bad and things are bad, but this is the life that I have and where I led. I'd love to change my future.
My initial response was go to the past.
But the thing is, if you
what are you dissatisfied
past,
about your present?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I think it's funny because this is how
it's hard.
Broken my
it's
brain is.
One.
I didn't even think about my personal life. I just thought about the politics in the world. And I was like, we go back and we.
Don't write that joke.
Don't give those jokes.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Mr. Trump. You're going to have a proud future in politics.
And tonight I'm naming Donald Trump to my cabinet.
Hey, you know what you need to do? Run the Kennedy Center starting today.
Oh, that would have been so good.
Yeah, but it's interesting, right? Because then you're saying, okay, I would like to have information about the future to change it. But you didn't have that about a present you currently have that you wouldn't change. And if you went back and gave yourself in the past information, it would not only give you power now, it would give you power 20 years from now. So that to me is what's interesting about it.
It's interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, buy Bitcoin. Smart.
You going past future?
No, I'm a real butterfly effect person, and I feel like anything I changed in the past might impact today. And then, like, what if my kids?
You were
going to
make out with your mom? Like,
what?
Like, why did we
no.
fly?
What
I knew exactly
the
what
fuck are you
I knew
googling?
Exactly what he meant. We knew what he meant.
Oh,
he meant.
Got it. But Dan's.
Tommy's like in some person.
He like
Tommy
porno
tube.
Out.
He's like, I was just saying, by the way, that Hannah enjoys the lifestyle now because you're a very successful media company. That's literally all I was saying.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Who do you go to in order to solve your life's problems? The group chat? Oversharing with strangers?
Jesus.
You go to Jesus? Yeah, can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. Speaking to praying and so forth. That helps.
I'm at my roommate's sophomore year.
Your roommate's sophomore year. Yeah. Okay. Also a good person to talk to. Great advice. BetterHelp has been helping people find solutions to their problems for over 10 years and have a 4.9 rating out of 1.7 million client session reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to strict codes of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and our 10-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means we typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from our tailored recs, fully online
You can pause your subscription whenever you need to and switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform. Having served over 5 million people globally, it's convenient too. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life, plus switch therapists at any time. Therapy can help. Look, we're therapy boys. We've talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk to somebody. And especially if you think you don't have to, that's when you absolutely do have to.
Good point.
There's a lot of people that can't get therapy, and that's wrong. But if you can, you should. You just should. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Find the one with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/PSA. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/PSA.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, last thing before we go. You're about to hear a special preview of our subscription show, Inside 2025. If you're not already a member, we really hope you'll consider signing up. Dan, Elijah only wants you to do these pitches, which I know is a signal to the three of us that we don't do them as well, and he's right. And you do them better.
It's important that I take
it. It makes me want to try harder, but for
especially
now
that we're literally Substack competitors, I think it's good for me to do this.
Yes.
It's good example why Democrats fail, right? Because it's not because of the words he's going to use. He's a trusted messenger. We haven't built enough credibility. So it's not like we have the magic. We said what Dan said. It wouldn't work.
So the usual pitch is you would get ad-free episodes. You need to hang on the Discord, which are all great things. People like that. But I think the reason to be a subscriber is the mission of this company, the company you guys started 1,000 episodes ago, was to build
give or take a few.
Just go with the bit. The company you guys built 1,000 episodes ago, give or take a few, was to build a counterweight to the right-wing media ecosystem. And when that started, the idea was Fox News. And now it is much bigger and more dangerous than Fox News. And the need for a counterweight is even greater than it ever was before. You can argue that we almost lost the 2020 election, lost the 2024 election because Democrats lost the ability to communicate with large swaths of the American people. The way to fix that is not to double down on the old broken media system. It is to build an alternative, to build an alternative independent media ecosystem. So your $10 a month, I think it is, it goes to help do that. It helps the company develop new initiatives, develop new shows, get bigger, reach new audiences, find more talent. And so it is an investment, just like your contribution to a political campaign or a PAC. This is an investment in a better, more progressive democratic future.
Can we put some fucking patriotic music on it?
Yeah, that's how we do that. That's how that's why Dan does the pitches, guys.
That's beautiful.
And
you see, Dan.
We're now on Substack alongside YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Supercast, and all the info you need to be part of all this is at crooked.com/friends. Here's Inside 2025.
All right, let's do a gimmick, as Bill Simmons calls it. I'm revealing myself as a Bill Simmons listener.
I mean, Bill Simmons, obviously legendary podcaster, and in many ways responsible for the creation of this podcast, but I don't think he invented the word gimmick. what?
Well, I don't know, man. I was just like, what do I call this? Well, Simmons calls it a gimmick, so I'm just going to call it that. Okay, before this recording, I gave you guys a prompt. Here's the prompt. You're a political consultant and you can magically make the campaign that you're working on have a robust presence in any of the platforms listed here. TikTok, Facebook/Meta/Twitter/Substack, TV news, podcast/YouTube, and then digital and linear paid advertising. Rank those in the order you'd prefer your campaign to have a robust presence on, and then let's see how much you guys align. Dan, what's most important for you?
Before Dan goes, can I just ask why you grouped... I know Facebook and Meta, obviously, but why you grouped Facebook, Meta, Twitter, and Substack all together?
I don't know, man. I was looking back on this and I was like, why did I do that?
Okay. No, I didn't.
Can I redo your gimmick just real fast? Can we redo it?
Yeah, my thought was TikTok is just its own beast, but
it should be. TikTok is one, YouTube is another, Instagram is a third, Facebook is a fourth, Substack is a fifth, linear advertising is a sixth. Those are your six.
Well, now I don't. Did I say
podcast and YouTube? Did I say YouTube be together?
Yeah, podcast and YouTube together.
I think
that's fair.
Okay,
that is because, John, as you know, most podcasts are watched on YouTube.
That's right. That's right. Wait, so what are we taking out now? Facebook, Meta, Twitter, Substack. Which ones are we removing?
I guess you could put Twitter in there, but just make them individual.
Okay. Right? All right. Cool.
Like Substack is one. YouTube,
so Facebook, Instagram is one, basically.
Sure. Yeah. No one would ever pick Facebook in 2025. It's ridiculous.
Twitter and Substack.
What's the other option? Parchment paper? Like, what are we doing?
Dan, what's your number one? We'll work through it. We'll talk about how combined these things are. It'll be messy, but what's your number one pick here?
YouTube. And I think there's no other. You can't pick another option. It's not even close.
John, do you align with that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Can I guess it's because YouTube feeds all the other ones? You get clips on, you do something on YouTube, yes, and then you get clips on all the other ones, including cable news.
That's where most people in the country are watching. We're getting their content right now.
YouTube is TV. That's the thing that people don't recognize is that many people are now watching their YouTube, not on their phone, not on their tablet, not on their laptop, but on their actual television. In 2024, 1 billion hours of YouTube were consumed on TVs globally. And that number is going up. It's particularly going up among Gen Z.
Yep. Okay, so then what's your number two? If it's the same thing, I'm going to be upset. I hope you guys have some deviation.
No, because there are clear answers here. It's TikTok, and you shouldn't pick anything else.
John,
get ready.
Oh, please say Facebook.
Well, first of all, there is a fuckload of people still on Facebook, just not any people under 40
and under 60
and under, yeah, right. I was gonna say this is different now that this is all fucked up now that we have changed the categories, but I was gonna say Twitter Substack, because I do think if you are running a campaign, there's still an influential set of people in politics and media that you're going to have to reach and you're going to have to talk to. And it's not, I have to sit down with the New York Times or the Washington Post editorial board or anything like that. But I think you kind of need, if you're going to have a campaign presence, you're going to have the need to have some presence in the world of journalists, influencers, sort of the traditional establishment gatekeepers.
And that's one of the reasons why we're going on Substack, because unlike a lot of other places where people get podcasts and content these days, Substack actually has a very robust, very successful discovery algorithm. I have benefited from this as I spent the last 5 years building a newsletter on Substack, and it is incredibly helpful. It has helped me find other newsletters that I'm very interested in. It has grown my newsletter. And one of the reasons to be on Substack is to help us reach new people who might be interested in our content, and their algorithm helps us do that.
Where did you have TikTok ranked, John?
Three. Next one.
Okay. And then, Dan, what was your three?
At Instagram.
Interesting. Okay. Why Instagram?
See, I'm going to build a bottom-up campaign where I'm going to reach voters first, and then the elites that John is fighting with on Twitter will then see the success of my campaign and then start writing about it.
Where will they see it?
In Iowa or Michigan or wherever the first state is, with all the people coming out. Yeah. Or when I'm sending out, we're not going to not be on Twitter. I would just rather have a robust TikTok presence to reach voters first, and then we can tweet out our massive TikTok following numbers.
And you think is it just because Instagram has a bigger user base than TikTok that you would rank Instagram? Oh, no, because you put TikTok before Instagram.
TikTok, yes. And I would pick TikTok over Instagram.
Now, why did you do that if Instagram has a bigger... reach.
Great question, John.
because one, TikTok sets culture in a way that Instagram does not, right? As someone who has mostly abandoned TikTok and Instagram Reels for my short-term memory. But the one thing you know is that whatever is cool on TikTok shows up on Instagram like 3 weeks later. It's more culturally relevant, reaches more young people. It's a cultural driver of what's happening in a way Instagram is less so.
Dan, what I'm hearing from you is you are an admirer of Zoran Mamdani's campaign.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's actually the one, like, that is, like, when you talk about, like, how you build your campaign
and then you get the elites last. That is an example of how that works. AOC is another example of how that works. Bernie, frankly, in 2016 is another example of how that works in a very different media environment.
All right, so Dan, what do you have number four?
What's left on the... Substack Twitter is one combined, right?
Mm-hmm.
Substack Twitter, probably.
John?
Did I do Instagram?
No, you haven't done Instagram.
You've not TikTok. Done Instagram.
Yet. Instagram.
Well, no.
Facebook,
you
Instagram.
Done TikTok.
I did TikTok.
You TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok was his three. Yeah,
three.
TikTok
okay. was his now, three. And then Facebook, Instagram is four.
Yeah.
So you guys both have TV news and digital/linear advertising, paid advertising as your five and six here.
Yeah, my six is TV news.
I mean, like, I'd cross it off the list.
No,
I would pick a robust early stage billboard presence over dominance of TV news.
I would love to have some like people who are working in Democratic politics right now do this because how much you want to bet the digital and linear paid would be further up the list than where we
depends.
Put it.
Are they depends on what part
they,
of the industry they work
do they
in.
Make money off of it?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think it's like just making money, but some of the people who work in politics genuinely believe that like
yes.
digital and linear paid are sort of underestimated by, you know, the pundit class and everyone else who doesn't work in Democratic politics.
I fundamentally disagree with
me
that.
Me too. Me too. Level.
And just, I think the way to, here's what I would think about is if you are 40 years old, your entire life has been about skipping ads, right? Skipping them on your DVR, just ignoring the digital ads that pop up at you on Facebook when you were a kid, just skipping right past them on Instagram stories or TikTok. And you just are culturally attuned to not believe a advertisement paid for by the people who want you to vote for the person or buy the product. And that is like, and it's also almost impossible to reach people under 40 with paid television ads because they are, other than like major sporting events and award shows, you can't run political ads on TikTok. You can't run political ads on Netflix, the two biggest platforms people spend their most time. And or also on YouTube, people are constantly skipping that ad at the beginning of it. And so you have everyone under 40 doesn't get or doesn't believe in ads. And next election has to be 45. Election after that has to be everyone under 50. It's everyone. It's just you're just reaching you cannot reach young people with linear television ads. You cannot find a less efficient way to spend money right now.
That's our show for today. If you like what you just heard, please consider subscribing on the platform that makes the most sense for you. Cricut.com/friends to learn more. Hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. Dan and I will be back with a new show on Friday.
Bye, everyone.
If you want to listen to Pod Save America ad-free and get access to exclusive podcasts, go to cricut.com/friends to subscribe on Supercast, Substack, YouTube, or Apple Podcasts. Also, please consider leaving us a review. That helps boost this episode and everything we do here at Cricut. Pod Save America is a Cricut Media production. Our producers are David Toledo, Emma Illick-Frank, and Saul Rubin. Our associate producer is Farah Safari. Austin Fisher is our senior producer. Reed Cherlin is our executive editor. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. The show is mixed and edited by Andrew Chadwick. Jordan Cantor is our sound engineer with audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Naomi Sengel is our executive assistant. Thanks to our digital team, Elijah Cohn, Haley Jones, Ben Hefcoat, Mia Kelman, Kirill Pelaviv, David Tolles, and Ryan Young. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Cricut hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Cricut podcast and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to cricut.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.